So our first case that we are reviewing today is LU14-176986DZM-AB-Q21. That's the name of the project. The applicant is Alex Yale of YBA Architects. The address is 2120 to 2140 Northwest Quimby. And the planner is Hillary Adam. Welcome, Hillary.
Hi, thank you. I did not prepare a PowerPoint for this project. 3 weeks ago, September 25th, the applicant was here. I presented a staff report, not yet recommending approval. The commissioners that were here, Melius, Hansen, Simpson, and Keltner, generally felt like the project was ready for approval, pending some minor changes. Commissioner Kaiser submitted some comments that were read into the record and incorporated in our comments to the applicant. And so they were directed to come back today with those minor changes. Quickly, they were to remove one material from the townhouse porches, that all stucco in the same plane should be the same color. Changes in color were okay at recesses. Recess the windows in the north and south stucco bar buildings at least 4 inches. And the garage doors should not be recessed any more than 4 feet from the property edge, the street lot line. There were also friendly suggestions to clean up the tilt-up accents in the plaza, consider using tilt-up at the upper-level courtyard, and to consider the control joint pattern in the stucco buildings. And so they made those changes. That's what you see in your bridge packets. They also submitted a complete set of drawings, which I've reviewed, and all those changes have been incorporated. And so I submitted a staff report recommending full approval.
Which, so just the status of that staff report, it did come in our packet, right?
Yeah.
Yes, okay, that's right.
With the boxes and the strike-throughs.
Okay, right, got it. Yes. It's all coming back to me now. All right, great. Are there any questions of Hillary? Do you have more to, are you
going
to walk us through? Okay. Any questions of Hillary before we move to the applicant? Great. Thanks. Go ahead.
Green light.
We're going to take you through the changes that the Masons are here on DR1 in general. All of them. I'll spare you guys from all the slides from that DR1. Any questions after the 3Ds? We can send them to the computer program. Okay. And I'm Matt Brown.
Is your speaker on? Actually,
is the light on?
Now it is, probably.
There you go.
Okay. Matt Brown from YBA Architects. So here we will go. We're basically going to address each of these one by one that Hillary mentioned. First was to remove one material from the porches of the townhomes, and we decided to delete the CMU, which is probably the least attractive of the materials that were there. And apologies, this is very dark, but you can probably see it in your packets. Effectively, this area here at one time had a small opening in the Ipe cladding, and you could see some of the CMU through it. Now, all three sides, edges, the soffit, and the opposing edge will all be lined in Ipe planks.
It looks completely different on our screen. Sorry.
You're a little blurry.
Hopefully in your packet you can see that.
Amy, is there anything we can do about that? Or
can we focus it a little bit?
Is there a settings on the projector that...
Brighten it up a little bit. Yeah, focus is one thing, but color's another.
Is this our projector or theirs?
Our projector.
Ooh.
There's no settings thing on there. It's about brightness, or it's a brightness setting. It's probably because we've had this the last couple of hearings. I think has been an issue. Might be worth straightening out for everybody to come.
It looks so brown. That's Keystone. It's different.
What is it?
We can brighten
that. Yeah, my eyes. We're dimming the lights.
Oh, that's
You could also zoom in, which might at least help a little bit.
There's the picture.
Input select.
We didn't go that way.
There you go.
I would have gone with picture, but.
Oh.
Nothing.
That'll do it, though.
Okay.
Okay.
Great.
Is it the font?
It's going to be on here.
Oh, there, okay.
There we go, brightness.
There we go.
Oh, boy. Hang on.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's see.
These have like the least intuitive user interfaces ever built into them.
Yeah.
There we go. Wow, look at that. There's wood in there.
Yeah, there's wood in there.
It's a nice day, actually.
Wow.
I thought it was going to rain.
Yeah.
Yeah, get some contrast in there. Oh, too much contrast, maybe. I don't know.
Take the contrast up and brightness down.
Brightness down.
Take a little bit. Yep.
Yes, contrast. Yep, that's good. Contrast up a little bit more, then it'd be good. Mm-hmm. I think that's good.
Okay.
Different project.
No, let's go with it.
It's a little on the bright side.
It's better.
Change our, yeah, let's go change our lights.
Okay. White.
Okay, so there you can see the IPay where there was a small opening. Sorry, there was a small opening. Now IPay on all three sides. We've also removed the street trees just for the clarity of the view here. So you can see the way the facade is articulated. Okay, so then number three, relating to what we are calling the north and south buildings, which are the three-story stucco portions on top of the podium. First was remove all instances where stucco in the same plane is the same color. Second recommendation was to provide at least a 4-inch recess at all glazing locations. And then finally, revisit the control joint pattern to see if potentially we might want to remove a few joints to mitigate the sort of panelized look of the facade. So this is an updated rendered elevation. So what we've done is we've elected to actually recess the entire bar, so spandrel panel and glazing in each of these vertical assemblies. So you get glass, sunshade, and this is a perforated screen over top of the PTAC ventilation, manufacturer's ventilation louver. So that whole area would be recessed 4 inches. We've also removed control joints that were at the top of this, these narrow windows, so they'd now just be atop of the wider bays. We've also kind of amended the rendering so that it gives you a clearer picture of what the stucco control joint will look like. It will be a similar color to the stucco itself, so they're less prominent in the view. These are a couple of details that we worked up just to show how we're achieving that 4-inch reveal in the windows by going to a double stud framing, wood framing in the walls. And then this just shows you, this is one of the detail pages from the booklet that shows that reveal line beyond the window opening in profile at 4 inches offset from the face of finish within the recess zone. And then again, with trees removed for clarity, this is a perspective view of the southeast corner of the block from the corner of 21st and Pettigrove. And here's another view from the west side along Pettigrove. And finally, a view kind of middle of the block, Pettigrove, looking at that recess. This was a recess that was significantly augmented at the first DR hearing in response to the comments during completeness check and from the DAR hearings to try to break up this facade more substantially. And then also, the recommendation was to pull the garage doors to a maximum of 4 feet from the right-of-way at Pettigrove. And this plan now is kind of washed out, but you can...
Yeah,
it's okay. It's all right.
Right. I'm going to nominate David, president of the AV Club.
We'll do this once and it'll always be great.
Right.
Good idea.
We're right back.
There we go.
Oh, look, there's landscaping.
Oh, look. There we go.
You guys
I'm good. I think
that's
good.
That's pretty good. Yeah. Yeah, we did fade back the landscaping so we can see the plan more clearly. And this is, you know, a relatively small change, but we basically pulled the garage doors from 6 feet six to 4 feet from the street, from the right of way. So that you have a slightly smaller recess. I mean, the balance point here was trying to maintain the full break in the facade plane, which occurs here and also occurs there. And so that this one in particular is where we didn't want to pull it too far, and that was kind of where we arrived at this 4 foot mark at the last hearing. So that there's still a significant break in the facade there, but it's close enough where it's considered safer. And as we showed last time, it is also going to be well lit. There's a very substantial light on the soffit plane here to light the entry to the driveway. And there will be sconces at each of these panels. That was already shown in the original submission at the exterior. One of the recommendations that was given was to reconsider the tilt-up accent blocks in the plaza area at the northeast corner of the scheme. For the landscaping. KLA, Cook Landscape Architects, the landscape architects, revisited that and came up with a slightly more rational pattern. We'll zoom in on it in a moment. Last time it was a little more randomized. But effectively there are small tiles that would be cut from the existing tilt-up and ground and finished with a clear sealant. And those are now arrayed within that paver plaza area. And then there are a few that are set on a concrete cylindrical base, almost like a toadstool, that are sort of inside of the flow-through planter. Making kind of an interesting pattern that then obviously transcends the boundary of the plaza, helps establish that as a space visually. And then we put a few more slides in here just to kind of revisit if we need to any of the other major design moves that were made at the in response to the DAR comments and so forth. But that essentially completes our responses from the first DR hearing.
Questions?
I have one. Is there any concern that the toadstools become an attractive nuisance?
To some extent, but it's a pretty low level, and I think the change in grade between those and the flow through is not great. It's 12 or 18 inches, I think, down to the soft medium at the bottom of the flow through.
For a 10-year-old.
I mean,
I'm not concerned about us.
Sure. Yeah.
Speak for yourself. Why are they there?
It's really just sort of a way aesthetically to tie in this pattern into those. It's sort of an artistic decision, effectively.
Okay.
So that it kind of creates a field that ties together the whole area, and
okay.
It's kind of playful. Yes, they're not up. They're in plane. Yeah.
I have a question about that too. About looking at that patterning when I first saw the package. Is this a design from Steve, or was this something that came out of your office? So
from Steve.
He's not here to respond to my question, but I see it's kind of like the landscape zone. That's the raised planter out, where your pedestals are floats over that ground plane, and the pattern in the ground plane, I think, is pretty consistent, except it seems to be missing two partial pieces up in that right-hand corner where they would reveal.
Mm-hmm.
And so was that a deliberate decision to not include those in the patterning?
You mean here?
Yeah, right there.
Yeah.
There should be two more.
It's really because of the intention to angle this slightly, which has to do with that, the kind of, you know, relationship of that entire facade. It kind of picks up on this angle. And this is something, you know, we've addressed previously that, you know, there's
I guess my question is, can you go back to the previous slide?
Yep.
If you were to continue this patterning, mm-hmm. there would be a partial piece here and another partial piece right here.
Yeah.
Decided not to do that. That's a reason. For me, I think it's almost like they're missing,
right?
Or we're left out.
To be honest, I don't think the pavers in the flow through planner, they were meant more to be playful and gestural for, you know, kids to.
Understood. But then you went to a really disciplined pattern in the ground plane, which is now. You kind of moved away from that
right.
for those two pieces, and I wonder why.
Yeah. I think, to be honest, it's just balancing it against that angle, you know, and wanting to kind of keep that gesture relating to the rest of the facade. And then when we veered away from the more randomized pattern, they would overlap the curb. So it was a matter of, you know, just taking them out so that we didn't have to split one of these. I think they're at low level, and a plan, obviously, it looks very prominent. I think when you're actually experiencing this, you know, as standing height, I don't know that you're necessarily going to read them as strongly as you do here, especially because the tone and color of these is going to be relatively subtle. In fact, I mean, it will be within the planner that your eye is probably drawn to the fact that, oh, they reused some pieces of this tilt-up, which you'll see, obviously, on parts of the facade, and then you'll probably appreciate that, oh, and they integrated that into the plaza, you know, as a flush sort of accent.
I mean, I'd understand a rationale that said, okay, we have randomness in our pylon base,
mm-hmm.
and we've drawn that randomness into the pavement pattern in the mm-hmm. plaza, but instead you distinctly went random at the pedestal base
yep.
and very rigid with the pavement pattern, except mm-hmm. for those two spots that seem to be missing, almost
yep.
like an oversight. And I would immediately notice that in the plaza
right.
with my eye and think, oops, somebody missed it.
Right.
What do you guys think?
They're not appearing. What
do you guys think?
Where they're going to be in?
Should the pedestals continue that pattern? Should it break right there? We can easily drop in the two that are missing and just have it break that angle.
Mm-hmm.
There's this fine line between being busy and having all this like language and all this stuff.
Mm-hmm. I think the planter is the planter and the paving is the paving, and I don't understand why you're bringing paving into the planter.
Mm-hmm.
It's a ghost notion, but
sure,
it's mixed, and I think it's an attractive nuisance.
Okay.
The columns from that are supporting the upper level, are they on the plan there? Am I not picking them up somewhere?
Yes.
Are they
yes.
the gray thing?
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
Yep. Right. There's actually five.
Yeah.
Yep.
Where they cross. Yeah.
They're just cut right near where they cross, so the angled pieces are projecting beyond.
Anyone else have strong opinions about attractive nuisances or pattern?
I think it's odd that they're in the planner.
I think you could delete them there.
Yeah.
I think you could just get rid of them in the planner and it'd make more sense.
I think it's stronger as a singular element with
yeah.
concrete with stone, concrete paving.
Okay.
And I was curious about just the walking through that. Is that that's the wood part?
Yeah.
And then you've got, is that a bridge over? Okay.
Yes, it is. Yeah, it would be flush, but it would be a bridge, and there'd be a small rail at the edge. Just for, you know, for visual impairment, wayfinding.
I'd like to hear some thoughts from commissioners about the pavement pattern.
Fine. Is that the
indifferent?
It's cutting it from the existing warehouse and then Is that the exposed aggregate?
It is, yes, that's right. Yep.
Just so you guys are aware, so Commissioner Hansen, in the last hearing, they had a kind of very random pattern of that stuff, and we suggested in that that they make a more coherent pattern out of it, and that's why they've reacted this way.
That's fine. I would have thought, because of the way you're using and cutting out the existing warehouse, it would maybe be more linear instead of square, but that's
true.
Just an observation. So that your conceptual elevation idea and the floor plan kind of go together. And that,
question using them as pavers. I mean, you're saying the building was a vertical structure and we're saving these parts of it.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're putting it down on the ground. I mean, it's not a deal breaker.
No, not
any
all
of this stuff,
yeah,
but
sure.
it kind of
it's
is
such
like,
a minor.
Well, and
piece,
one of
but,
I thought,
but it is a very prominent open space, so it does need to be considered.
So, not to put words in your mouth, but wasn't there a conversation about that last time where using longer expanses of that as a paver was an issue because of the granular quality of the tilt up was too rough to completely use to make that the major element in the plaza, for instance?
It'll be simpler to salvage and cut reliably smaller pieces for this kind of an application.
Sure.
There was a tripping / ADA hazard issue with using.
I don't know the material that well in terms of its. I'm sure it's navigable. It's not. It doesn't seem like
it's not going to have. Slight.
Towards an ADA.
Earlier on, we were considering actually having vertical slabs that are kind of remnants that are vertical, and they're almost like knives. They're just sort of like sliced into the planter vertically and staggered to echo what's going on the building facade, and I think Steve went away from that so that it was a simpler overall assemblage.
Just kind of gray.
What?
It's just kind of gray.
So.
Even adding the accent of the sandblasted aggregate just continues more gray.
Sure.
Just not very warm. And that's your call, but.
I guess that's the soffit. It's all wood, right?
Yeah.
So that helps, but there's some landscaping, there's the wood benches, the wood kind of walkway that bridges over. There's some elements there, but I agree. It's going to be a gray, because your metal panel system's gray, the concrete that you're leaving is a gray. So it's not like it's the only gray building in Portland, but.
No.
Yeah, I guess those moments that really offer warmth or color become that much more important.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
you're cutting into that, right? I guess is what they're talking about doing now, right?
I just think about there's a white building across the street. The
Pulse
thing is white. There's probably going to be a public plaza across the street, open space. One would hope rich civic materials or greened up or whatever it is. So you're going to kind of be the gray spot, and that's your choice. But I think that by having this kind of front porch surrounded by richer materials, not only by your choice to have wood benches enriching it with the stormwater planter and all of that stuff, and then what surrounds it, by what its adjacencies are, it may not feel that warm. Maybe that's okay.
It was a bit of a cognizant effort to tie in the sidewalk and bring the side so that the this plaza space visually tied into the sidewalk, and so there's a sort of seamless quality to it.
Mm-hmm.
And then to the left there, you can see the raised plaza area is paved stained concrete, and so it has a warmer texture to it. So we're kind of trying to also break up this zone into smaller zones.
Okay.
Is
So there's a lot of, you know, there is a lot of glass, and there will be retail, you know, opportunities here. So, I mean, this is a large, operable, multi-panel door that will be wood that will open into the space. This, most of this, in fact, all of that, that edge, and running back for, I think, about 28 feet is actually aluminum storefront front up to 10 feet high. And, you know, I don't remember the percentage exactly, but something like 80% of this wall actually at the ground plane is glazed. It goes up two stories of glass here at the lobby area. So I think there's going to be a lot of life inside these buildings, particularly at night, that is going to glow and really activate that plaza. And conceptually, I mean, the wood areas that we have and the planted areas will obviously really pop because of that dichotomy of the more subdued tones on the building and their color and tone. You know, we have these wood benches, large, you know, Rison lumber that will be used there. So I think it'll be more subtle on some projects, like the one across the street, which is very bright and white, large expanses of cream brick. But we think it's going to be a great addition to that, and it will be unique in its own right in terms of the reuse of some of the existing shell.
So questions.
Yeah,
sort of the questions.
So on the northwest 21st elevation, are you reusing concrete panels from the warehouse, but then relocating them back? Is that what you're proposing to do?
Tilting them down, then tilting them back up.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm just curious. And then on those recesses on each side, what's on each side of those recesses? You've got the glazing and plane, and then parallel.
You know what I mean? Or
no, on 21st.
Yeah.
I know you're not. You may not have slides of it all, but
let's see if I've got. We can pull one up that shows you.
Okay, I was just curious. I don't get a sense of. I didn't get that from the other hearing.
Minimize this.
Yeah.
Do you know what
it's
it is?
On the desktop
side of. You know here. Here and there, because this is all glass there and door.
We're going to pull up the full meal deal on the original submission.
I'm getting at what you were talking about, Tad. Where's the opportunity to enrich that, the whole elevation from just gray?
Right.
You know?
Yeah, I just want specifically that we'll show this. So this shows you how I want, you know, these would be the tilt-up. We have a fully rendered version of this as well. But effectively here you get glass on
the
three
whole
sides.
U-shaped is glass the whole
yeah,
way.
Okay. Pushes in with the wood soffit.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I'm quite sure. And then, again, what's set back on each side of the apartment townhouse units on Pettigrove?
Oh, the same
thing.
Same wood, yeah. Same
wood.
Okay. Treatment.
So the
yeah.
walls are wood,
lining the
all
whole
the way.
Over.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So you're fairly consistent with that. All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Here it is, fully rendered.
Okay. Yeah. That's fine.
Great.
And then the edges are going to be that exposed aggregate with the clear steel.
That's been cut.
Yeah.
So it'll be a different kind of quality. It'll be smooth, and
exactly.
then you'll have the rough.
Polished,
right.
clear, sealed edge.
Right.
That'll give it a different
mm-hmm.
color. And actually, I mean, you know, once it's sandblasted and stained, you know, it's not like wood, but there'll be a warmth to that concrete.
So you're
going to
stain
sure.
that edge?
Yes.
And sandblast it.
Yeah.
And sandblast it?
Sandblast the whole, because at the moment it's painted. It painted the aggregate.
So that saw cut surface is sandblasted and then stained?
Yeah, it'll be cut.
The saw
ground,
cut.
Ground. I don't know if it'll need to be sandblasted. The paint will be sandblasted off.
The face.
I'm not sure the order
face.
That they're going to necessarily.
Because I can see that once you put a stain and a sealer on that saw cut edge, it's going to get a reflective quality.
Yeah,
with the other surface
be nice
wall,
as
which
a,
is
as
kind
a,
of a nice contrast.
Yeah, that it's been cut.
Exactly.
Yeah. We try to render that. So
mm-hmm.
that's how we
pick up that.
Yeah, it'll have a quality of its own. Because you'll cut through.
Yeah,
stars,
everything.
Yeah,
rebar. And,
yeah, then
yeah.
polish.
It's always cool to look at
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, it's very cool.
How thick are those?
Five and a half.
And they'll be juxtaposed with the shiny glass
mm-hmm.
metal panel.
Good.
That's really the intent.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
The one question I had about that elevation is the kind of, can you bring up an elevation of just the kind of percentage of glass and openness on that?
Yes.
Relative to the...
Can you bring it here?
It's heater season.
And,
I'll be okay.
And are you still going for a modification for Pettigrove percentage of glass?
We are.
Pettigrove.
Okay.
Yeah, and that... So this is the percentage, about almost 53%, and it's effectively full height. So, you know, even though the zoning code requires 50%, we need 25% of the wall area.
Sure.
You know, we're effectively 53% more or less lineal and 53% wall area, and the whole facade, you know, has something like 42% glass and the metal spandrel making up the difference up to that 53%. Along Pettigrove, and this was something we discussed in the last round. You know, there's a lot of glass in the townhome recess entries. However, the way the code is written for EX, you can't count that as part of the ground floor window mm-hmm. area. Mm-hmm. So that's where we were going with, you know, there's actually a lot of glass there. It's a very active facade, but unfortunately, we can only count the portions that are on the retail. Overall percentage,
right.
So it looks a lot worse than we think it is relative to that standard. Mm-hmm. If you counted that glass, we'd be well over the requirement, the 50% and 25% net area.
Of the overall elevation, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Other questions?
You have a couple of modifications and then an adjustment. The adjustment, I guess I never really focused on that as much, but it's a pretty big adjustment relative to the 3,000 square foot retail limit versus the over three times plus what you're proposing. So I guess I just want to hear how that better meets the guideline versus keeping the guidelines. So your adjustment, in other words, to get a modification or adjustment, you need to better meet the guideline. So how does a bigger retail space, when the intent of it is to keep retail at a neighborhood scale, mm-hmm. how does that better meet the intent of the guideline then?
When we talked about it. They talked about that last time.
They did cover it last time, yeah. I think, yeah.
Can I jump in?
Yeah, go ahead.
The adjustment criteria is a little bit different than modification
sure.
criteria. It doesn't really talk about design guidelines so much. But before the last hearing, I talked to seventh floor planners that were part of the Northwest Plan District creation.
Mm-hmm.
And they said that requirement for limiting retail in that area to 3,000 was meant to direct larger retail spaces along the 21st Avenue corridor so that smaller retail spaces would be off to the side just because 21st is a main street. And then our discussion last time was sort of about bridging that gap between 21st and the New Seasons, which is 20,000 square feet.
Right. New Seasons is the only...
It's only allowed.
Retail allowed that size in the whole Conway and Northwest.
Yeah.
Right.
It's the only one.
It's an old Costco
right.
thing that happened many
yeah.
years ago.
Sure.
Yeah. I also want to bring up the 3,000 square feet. It only applies to the 60 feet.
Yeah.
And we're not proposing that this all be one giant retail space. We imagine that it really needs to be flexible over time. Trying to create as much flexibility over time. So there will be demise, you know, in here we've drawn one demising wall.
Sure.
So those are the tenants that we anticipate
right.
immediately, but long term, it could be demising.
Well, it could also be no demising walls, which is what I'm getting at.
That's
but the harm in that is,
huh?
And the harm in that is.
Well, I guess the scale of it at that point, it becomes a 10,000, which is half the size of the New Seasons, right?
So it's a Walgreens.
So it's, yeah, I mean, I guess that's what I'm just wanting to bring up.
Right.
Is there a way to set a maximum of, like, what it is now in any proportion?
With a condition.
With a condition, I guess, yeah.
Yeah, I'm just
it's not something that we've talked about.
For discussion.
Before this hearing, right. We hadn't really brought it up as an issue, right. But I guess, you know, yeah, it's a Walgreens, I mean, that or it's something else that wants 10,000 square feet. I guess I haven't heard the urban design harm yet. I haven't heard the this is going to ruin the neighborhood at 10,000 square feet yet. Well,
so what's the intent of the 3,000 then? I guess that's what we need to understand. It's to keep it at a scale that's neighborhood, right?
It was a two things. I think Ted's right. There were multiple proposals for things like really big Fred Meyers and Costco's that kept coming through. So there was a clear desire to nip that in the bud. But there, as Hillary put it, there was a desire to concentrate larger retail spaces on 21st, which is you know.
Which the one anomaly is a new season. So that's here.
Which is telling in itself, because when they made that plan, they said only this.
Just one.
Right.
So the notion of not letting that retail creep up.
Right.
Is still inherent in Conway's planning and in the
right,
Northwest
right.
plan.
Because the rest of it, the rest of Conway is limited, right?
Correct.
Right. And here.
30,000?
30? I don't know.
I think new seasons are usually 30, so that's
yeah.
The
yeah, somewhere in there. And here we have, you know, a retail response to a grocery store across the street, which, you know, we felt was appropriate given that context, not appropriate everywhere, but given the context of that street and how, you know, what grocery, the good the grocery stores bring to neighborhoods
right.
in terms of their activity, but also the negative sides of them in terms of living across the street from them, that having a robust commercial edge there made sense.
So if it's a, so if it is a Walgreens, as I learned this from you, Mr. Kaiser, you know, people park in the New Seasons lot and they shop and then they walk across the street to the Walgreens, right?
Yep.
May do that anyway.
They're not going to park back here because this is buried.
They'll do that
anyway.
They'll do that if it's a dress shop or a, you know.
Well, I think there's a difference from what we're saying is a destination retail versus a neighborhood retail.
Yeah.
That's what it becomes at that point.
Right.
Potentially. I don't know. I mean, I don't know that regulating their parking and New Seasons parking
no,
across
not,
the street has anything
no.
to do with this design review.
Scale
so,
and potential.
Yeah.
Relative to what the intent was originally.
Okay.
I mean, if I was someone like Walgreens, I think this is a great spot to go in.
Yeah, it would
that's
be.
So New Seasons.
Right.
So I guess what I would propose considering and discuss is, you know, should there be a limitation on the maximum size retail within this 10,000 something square feet, which is what they've got. What have you got proposed right now?
I think it's 10,481, if I recall.
Right.
I mean, just to, we have obviously we've articulated this facade. Is it more than that? 486? We've articulated the facade in a way where it's obviously trying to encourage, you know, smaller scale retailers
long term. The two spaces with the demising wall.
Yeah.
How much are those two? What are those total?
Yeah.
They're 10,680, right?
Yeah.
So you've got a 6,000 square foot space and a 4,000 square foot
okay.
space.
Yeah. Yep.
So Tim, can you tell us if we could even condition that or not?
Before I was going to go there, I was going to ask the commissioners where they were in the point of order of the
I plan. Was asking questions, and I'm still okay. looking for questions,
questions.
But
I just,
yeah.
I am very glad to hear that the commissioner is paying attention to the point of order so
yeah.
that we have a speedy and thorough hearing process.
Right, exactly.
I was hearing more commentary than I was hearing
I understand.
Questions, so
yeah.
I just wanted to check in on that.
Yeah.
So, I'm sorry, could you ask your question
well,
again?
Relative to square footage, the 3,000 square foot, the adjustment,
mm-hmm.
they've got 10,000 with 6 and 4 right now in two separate. Is it possible to condition a maximum size retail space on, in that or not?
I think it would be a very, I have to think about that. My pause is that with respect to the integrity of the team and the developer, it's a very difficult condition to ever enforce, and our bureau is not in a position to measure interior walls sliding and moving around to various positions.
Building apartment is, though.
Yes, but after the building and final occupancy is released, I don't know who's going to know one way or the other. So I guess I would ask the question is relative to how the interior wall is moved or not.
No, I'm not saying that wall couldn't move.
Mm-hmm.
How about a condition I'm just that saying. This space has to be demised into two spaces?
Well, actually, I have a question for David, which is, what's the harm?
What's the harm? That's what I keep coming back to the harm.
So I mean, I'd like to hear it. I could understand.
Well, I guess there, for me, it's a question of scale. If it's 3,000, that's one thing, which is what the code wants. But then we're doing over three times that. For what reason, other than it's next to a bigger retail space? Where's the solidity in that decision?
This isn't the first time I've stumbled across a piece of code.
Right.
That I question the validity of. Or the exact decision. So I guess
it is a good question, though, that David's asking, because it is 10,000 gets into Walgreens. 10,000, a Walgreens here is probably not the intent. So if I guess I'm confused now too. Was the new season's the last time? Then it goes back to three for this whole mm-hmm. neighborhood, and
yes.
it's now 10.
Yeah. Yes.
So right. what? It seems right. like this shouldn't be 10 if it was the new season 30, and then right. back to three.
Okay.
Walgreens will change this neighborhood. And there is no Walgreens in this neighborhood.
Well, that's where
New Seasons will change this neighborhood. I mean, New Seasons has already changed the neighborhood. I guess I'm still trying to get to this location, the harm done by a 10,000 square foot retail space across the street from a 20 to 30.
Just gave you our opinion.
I think 10,000
yeah, okay.
foot retail tenants are national chains yeah. to mm-hmm. start with. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, again, I'm just going back to who wrote the 3,000 thing.
Right.
And are we trying to hold that up.
Can I just interject yeah. on that point? In the adopted Northwest District Plan, they talk about the intent of this code section that says reinforce area main streets and the streetcar corridor as the focus for retail and service uses in the area and prevent large-scale retail service uses that can overburden the district's transportation system and that are out of scale with the neighborhood. And then next to that, it says implementing code provisions. Two things. In areas in the EX zone north of Northwest Pettigrove that are further than 200 feet from the main streets, meaning 21st, the streetcar alignment and east of Northwest 19th limit the size of retail service uses to 3,000 square feet per use and allow retail service uses up to 20,000 square feet within other portions of the EX zone. Including 21st. So in a way, it's backwards because they're limiting just these small portions to 3,000 square feet, but saying up to 20,000 could be in other areas that are EX zones. Allow retail service uses up to 20,000 square feet within other portions of the EX zone, such as along main streets and the streetcar line, in the Northwest 18th and 19th Avenue corridors, and in long-established EX zone areas south of the streetcar line. So,
right. And I think, you know, in the River District, I think the maximum is 40,000 square feet. Mm-hmm. The idea being it was, you know, like a Whole Foods, one block, you know.
Right.
That was
right.
it.
Yep.
So, from my perspective, I guess, one of the things I'm thinking about, too, and we'd have to go back to the team and ask them, like, okay, so if we insisted that we only do 3,000 square feet, I mean, it's only a chunk of their site that falls into
right,
that
what I wanted to
limitation.
If you're, can you draw a 200-foot line back from your property and
yeah.
do this 3,000?
So
that's what it says, doesn't it, Hillary? 200 feet back from the main?
Yeah, so it's just a 60-foot wide swath across. Adjacent to the west property line.
And I guess philosophically, I wanted to add this.
Yeah.
One of the things that we've been kicking around is useful, viable, active, truly active, not residential active, ground floor retail. And I'm a little nervous about, you know, that hearing that code explanation and then, you know, thinking about, you know, limiting retail to a certain size but insisting people use it. And you know what I mean? I think I would rather let them be flexible and guarantee or, you know, give them more opportunity to attract different retailers than to try to keep prescribing but still insist people try to do something active. Do you know what I mean? It's like can...
Well, and then where's the balance in there, I guess?
I don't know. But, I mean, I guess that's what we're talking about, I guess. But my brother is to let it be a little looser.
So it's the last... So you may, even in fact, have 3,000 square feet there.
Sorry.
The line's up there. So yeah. A couple points, two things. One, it's only the 60-foot zone here. And we place the exiting corridor into that, along that edge. So it's taking some space out of that. If we put a demising wall right there at that edge, then we could have 10,000 square feet. We could have the Walgreens could be right there.
I got you.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
Sure.
Okay. So all we're trying to do is now to go back to the
I don't think so.
Building plan.
It's interesting, Gwen, though, to your point, you know, you get above 5, you do deactivate streets.
Oh, I know, because they start to have to display areas. No, I understand.
Those users have one door.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I understand that.
So it's interesting. It is really all tied together.
Yeah.
You know, there's a activate a 30,000-foot user.
Complete tension there, and I understand it. So
at 60 feet, we could require a demising wall. Is that what you're saying?
Because that's 3,000 feet.
Right. I guess. I don't know. Because then after that, or not. Or does it, is it just a line that says west of that 60 feet, it can only be 3,000?
I think it's that any retail
be a contiguous space, the 3,000.
Sorry, I was listening. I can't hear all the different ideas.
Well, I guess my question, I'm just trying to.
I'm not supposed to. I think it's pretty important.
It's important,
so,
sure.
So if this is 60 feet somewhere in here, then this has to be limited to 3,000.
Can
it be part of a bigger space?
It can. But any retail space that's within that 60-foot zone, any retail space that's in there has to be no larger than 3,000 square feet. So if it overlapped, whatever the demise of that space is, would have to be no more than 3,000 the way that it's written now. So you could theoretically have a smaller, the way I read it.
Also, in my opinion, reading it several times, it could be construed, in my opinion, kind of either way. And so we've talked a lot about this.
Okay.
It is fairly vague with the way that it was written, so we took the conservative approach, where any portion of that retail space within that 60 feet would therefore mean that entire space had to be 3,000.
Yeah, really. You do.
Sorry.
Do we happen to have that?
Or it would be subject to an adjustment to be bigger.
Okay.
So if you required a demising wall at that 60-foot line, it would be a denial of the adjustment, essentially.
Right.
Right.
Allowing more than 3,000.
Right.
Okay.
Okay. So that's on the table as a thing.
Okay.
Other questions? I'm trying to.
It's
allegedly going to take an hour.
Is it all the three-layer metal lath stucco?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, because one of these examples doesn't. One of your section one over here does not look like it, but it is all that.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. Yep.
Yeah, I had a couple detail questions too. It's that page 21, detail one. I was just curious about stucco going into the sill and then putting the metal over the stucco. I don't know. And then the head also. I wasn't quite sure how all that worked.
Oh, this one, yeah.
Yeah, that one. So that detail there. I'm just curious about that little piece of stucco there. It seems like a very difficult
thing to apply.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. I mean, it could be that it's actually just a piece of sheet metal.
Yeah, I think. I wonder if you do you really wrap the stucco up and over at the sill and then put the metal on it? Is that
on the bottom?
On the bottom?
No. Oh, sorry. No. No.
You just stop that.
You wouldn't do that.
And then
you're
have
right.
a
you're right.
Right.
That plywood should come up.
Yeah. There'd be a.
You'd have a
ice and water shield or something of that nature, and then the metal. Okay, that's just some detail questions that, with the limited number of details you had and the questions I had with several of them, it kind of gave me pause. Because, I mean, anyway, one other question about detail was also, I think it was the first one, The next page, just the vinyl window and that caulking sealant at the sill also. I mean, I think you're going to want to, no, outside. You don't want just a bead of caulk there, I don't think. So there's some flashing and pieces that you really want to take care of.
Well, so this one is a little bit, this isn't stucco. So that's actually a perforated screen. It would have its own edge. So that's why it's a metal.
It says two-coat stucco there. That's what kind of threw me.
Oh, it does.
Right there.
Okay, so that,
it's, yeah.
Okay.
Is it not stucco?
In this detail.
Right. Anyway,
that's right.
It's just something to...
Yeah, no, you're right.
Do some QC on.
Sorry. Yeah, I'm thinking of there are two different types of details. One has stucco in between, the other one has perforated metal screen.
Okay.
They're both right. 4 inches.
Okay.
Yep.
That's all for me.
In a previous review, I missed the last one, but at the one before that, I commented on, I thought that there could be an even more dynamic design to the posts, the poles that hold up the end of the building.
Mm-hmm.
Did you do any exploration? Did you address that last time, or is it?
Yes. In it, when DR1, in our last DR, we redesigned the columns. Actually, previously they were I-beams.
Right.
Wired flange.
Right.
And so what we did is we actually looked at various other schemes where we did sort of wedges or bars. We looked at many, many smaller columns. It turns out that smaller columns really don't do anything for us structurally because they're so slender. Ultimately what we did is we came back around to, the scheme. And what we did is we gave them a taper so that the ends of them are actually narrower than the belly of it, and it gives it this sort of elegance, or this a little more finite. And then also the ends of the columns are pin connections, so that there's just one exposed pin connection in the top and bottom.
Okay, thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Other questions? Any others? Other questions? Okay. Great. As a reminder, if you're interested in testifying about this project, there are yellow forms in the back of the room. You would hand them to Amy. She would give them to me, and I would call you up. See a stampede for the forms in the back of the room. So short of that, I'd like to move. We do have a complete staff report in front of us. So I can close public testimony, or we might do some deliberation. And I'm a little, with the back and forth with the applicant that we've been having, I think I want to leave the record open until we kind of get to the bottom of whether or not we've got amendments here, or things that we're going to send people back for, if that's okay, Tim, process-wise. Okay, great. So I'd like to move into deliberation, and some of the things that I've made note of that we've called attention to include taking the concrete elements from the planner. I generally heard consensus on that one. I feel like we can set that one aside, the toadstools, as they were putting it. There's a question about the whether the pavers should be square or rectilinear, or should they, look different, comply more thoroughly with the pattern that they set out around the planner, that sort of thing. The grayness of the plaza was brought up. I don't know if that's something that people want to try to condition. Okay.
The what?
The
grayness.
Color.
I'm not going to.
Okay.
The grayness of the plaza.
The plaza.
No.
Okay. And so what we get down to are, and it sounds like there's a couple detail issues that I think the planner and the applicant could probably clear up, but Commissioner Work, you tell me, issues of flashing and whether, where stucco lands around flashing details and all that stuff.
I just think they need to kind of go through their drawings and make sure that they're
happy with how all that lines up, or that,
well, just that the details are solid construction,
right,
details, because
got it,
the ones that I just kind of picked up quickly are not
good. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So is that a friendly amendment, or is that something you want Hillary to work on? Or
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
They're coming back with a full submittal or not? What's the next step?
We have that here.
Oh, okay.
No, we have a complete staff report. We could vote on this project today, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. They'll just come back for approval with your staff report?
No, you have a complete staff report today. This is it.
Oh, I see.
That's why I'm asking these questions.
I see.
Yes. Okay. We could send them on their way today, or we could not. And so I'm trying to get to the bottom of whether what we have are things that could be conditionable, directions to staff.
I need, there are two things that I'd like to talk to the commission about to see whether they're on a list or not.
Okay.
One is the support columns.
Okay.
I don't know if anyone else. And the other would be, are the two Davids okay with the punch metal over the vents? It seems a little cheesy. Did you look at it?
We did last time.
Okay, and you're okay with it?
Yes.
Okay, so I'll take that off my list.
That's fine, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I don't know if anyone else. I just feel like they've set up this wonderful gesture, and I'm just not finding the kind of exclamation point as good as it really could be. I don't have a solution.
On the columns, Ted?
Yeah, I just, these things are saying they're holding the thing up, and that they're on the ground and on the building, and so those connection points where they touch the building and the ground, have those been really pursued to? I'm just wondering if there's something more exciting, more elegant than that. But if people are fine with it, I'm not saying it's a condition. I'm trying to see how other people feel.
I think what they proposed, I think you could, there's lots of different takes that you could pursue on the columns. I think Commissioner Kaiser left some notes that Gwen read into the record last time, just about how the top's treated and the concrete beam and whatnot. Gwen, correct me if your memory's any different, but I think when we went around, we talked about those and about those comments, and they are, there's a taper to the column. They're not wide flange. I mean, they've thought about it and they've designed something. And my feeling about it is that there are lots of different takes on it. They had one. I think it's legitimate. I think I could have a lot of different ideas about it, but I think this one, it's been thought about. I have a hard time understanding a particular guideline that it's not sort of satisfying and. And it's and it was deliberated, and people did decide it was good. So we did talk about it.
One another, as they cross, they don't touch each other. As they come down, the pavers are encompassing. They just kind of disappear into the ground, and
there's
not a big bracket or something above grade.
It would be like a shaped T bracket for a pin connection,
like a knife plate. They don't just sort of disappear into the ground. That knife plate connection is expressed.
Is there no way to get them just to disappear into the ground? Just like they're. I mean, that's what it's for me. That's what it's saying. It's such a clean kind of detail. It just wants to keep going. That's one of the things. Plus, there's a knife plate coming up from the foundation.
Yes. Yeah. So the foundation
parallel with the angle and straight up on the others. Does it come out?
Exactly right.
Yeah.
It'd be sort of a tapered, it's like a small, it's literally about this big tapered piece with a pin connection. You see these a lot in Europe, where you get a tapered column that's really optimized in terms of its, flexural design. That's why you get that tapered top and bottom, end.
Sure.
And then you get the robust pin.
It adds some richness to the detail, the sculptural component.
Yeah.
Attention of the fact that you got a cantilever that looks like it's supported by maybe inadequate.
Basically, we at the beginning of this, there were no columns.
but it's very hard to achieve that. So, so that's why we've looked for something that's,
Do you have the detail of the top and bottom of the columns? It'd be interesting just to kind of look at that real quick, if you don't mind.
I mean, for me, even just having them just be straight, you know, that's the angle is kind of, it's like, oh, we're going to put these on an angle. You know, it's like a...
Well, I think they're kind of, I do agree that there's some interest to me to it.
In our book, there is a, on page...
Why two out of three?
E67.
57?
E67, and it looks like detail two on E63.
Oh.
Oh, sorry, it was last, okay. The set from last time.
This shows you an elevation of the taper, and then in connection, it's this.
Yeah,
oh,
here we go.
So you've got the same detail at top and bottom.
Yes, exactly. Yep.
All right. Okay.
You know, the one thing that's unfortunate in these kind of, and I like the expressiveness of these on different angles. The one thing that's unfortunate for ADA requirements for blind people, you know, all the things are on the bottom, so you can't actually get to them, and then they're solved after the fact, you know?
Right.
So do you guys, have you thought about how you're stopping people from hitting their heads on the angled ones?
So the angle of it is, it's slight enough where I don't think it's going to be...
You're right. And
have to it's not. It's cutting at an angle where you'd still be able to touch it with the cane. Exactly.
Well, I think they'll make you like you can't even go underneath those things.
Right.
Which is unfortunate, but and it always, in my opinion, kind of messes with what you're going for is the solution to figure out.
Right.
So
right.
Consider that.
Right, because I've seen the postcode inspector coming by and going, oh, you need a little rail there.
You
to
have
rails.
Right. Planters and odd spots.
Yeah.
Right. Benches.
Yeah, bench. All
yeah, right.
And then you lose what you're going for. Because if you do all that, then you're going to find
it. And there's the stuff.
Yeah.
I think the detail's fine. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Details fine. Did we just bring up another issue that we have to worry about, though? Whether someone
you do, yeah. It could be a post permit set submittal review comment. So which we don't want to like those too much.
Any thoughts from that table over there from the city? Sorry, I know you had a complete staff report. So.
we'll work closely with the postcode inspectors.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
No problem.
Okay. Okay, so I heard from Tad. We had the column attachment question and just their general approach, and we've moved on from that. We're okay, generally speaking, with how the columns are attached. Is there enough concern about other issues surrounding the columns that we need them to come back? Again, I'm just trying to get to, I'm kind of counting noses here, if you can tell.
Mm-hmm.
So do we need them to study that further from an ADA perspective?
I would say they need to work with staff.
Yeah, okay, work with staff on that, okay.
Yeah, to resolve that issue.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else that needs to be thoroughly aired? We need to get back to the retail conversation, so that's the one that I feel like we haven't resolved. Okay. So, I'm down to, at this point, just that adjustment. It's the only thing that I heard that we haven't resolved. So, is there anything else that I missed? Okay. So, let's talk about the retail adjustment.
Does code allow a nightclub to go into that space? I mean, zoning?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's EX, just about anything.
Okay. I'm trying to test other Walgreens nightclub. Neither are bad, but they...
In the right place.
They come with a certain kind of behavior. Are there other uses that...
Very small movie theater.
What?
A small movie theater.
Movie theater.
You know, small screens, mm-hmm. small mm-hmm. viewing rooms. Like a living room theater, yeah, would fit there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so for me, you know, the nightmare scenario maybe would be a Walgreens, maybe, I don't know. But the, you know, but also there's flexibility for those other things, again, across the street from a very, already very large, in this neighborhood, retail insertion. And it's only, and I'm only thinking about it in the context of this neighborhood. I'm not like, let's throw out the 3,000 square feet everywhere. It's just thinking about here, whether it makes sense or not.
But without the parking lot, a Walgreens might be of benefit to this neighborhood. In other words, it doesn't have to be seen. I mean, they've designed a lovely shell. I mean, it's not like it's going to be a typical Walgreens or type of business if something was to go in. So, again, that becomes an amenity, and certainly no one's going to use this as their destination Walgreens because it's going to be impossible to park unless you're shopping at New Season. So, you know, it doesn't bring with it the stuff that we ordinarily get concerned about. So are there other uses that are good, you know, where it could use 10,000 feet, or are we trying to protect the neighborhood from uses that are detrimental?
Well, I think part of it is not the specific use, it's the scale of the use, at which point it becomes a destination,
right?
Which then overburdens. You've got a serious destination across the street right now that's going in with New Seasons, and so then you compound that with another destination, and then suddenly the traffic counts, and, you know, I think that's what the purpose. That's what the purpose of that limiting the size of retail is.
Or, which we acknowledge is not actually kosher, people use the Walgreens parking lot and they kill two destinations with one parking spot. Know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I see this happening with like the Hawthorne Fred Meyer near my house, where people use that parking lot that's behind the Fred Meyer for shopping on Hawthorne all the time. They're not supposed to, but they do. And, you know, it becomes, there's a lot of attractors on that street, and those parking nodes become filled up with people using all sorts of other stuff around it. I don't know that there's harm to it, except when you want to get a spot to, win a quart of milk in your car. So
I guess there is a movement to get larger scale users into city cores. I mean, Target,
right?
For example, I mean, that's probably healthier for a city to actually get these out of the malls of Jansen Beach. You know, in the 5,000 and 10,000.
Yeah,
users.
People in cities need to buy socks. You know, and it's when you have a bunch of foo-foo retail in places like Northwest Portland. You know, it's very, very nice, but it's hard to just get socks and a whisk. You know, or whatever. It's there's things that people need to buy at big box stores. We know.
It's a dual use instrument. Yeah.
I have lived in this neighborhood without a car, and I can remember like coming up with these crazy lists of stuff that I couldn't really get in the neighborhood if Fred Meyer didn't carry it, you know. And
absolutely.
So
okay. All right.
Anyway, so are we comfortable there? Do we feel like we need to? I mean, I'm just.
I don't know either way. I was just bringing it up for discussion, and I don't know.
It's
I don't
a worthy
know the right
discussion.
Answer. I just. I was just trying to figure out, because if this happens with this whole district, what are we dealing with, right?
Yeah.
This isn't actually in the Conway master plan. It's across the street, so there's a little bit of a different, but it's the same neighborhood.
It's a precedent.
Right. So I.
It's a precedent. I guess I want to be fairly clear that I'm just thinking about it on this street in this location.
Well, what about the north side then? What about on Raleigh? It's across the street from.
Yeah, I would only want to review it on
the
case
about
by
that
case
is
basis.
Raleigh is a retail corridor street.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway.
Yeah. What if a Bed Bath & Beyond comes in across the street, 20,000 feet?
Yeah. What if? You could buy towels. I mean, I guess what's the harm in it?
I'm still trying to get to the harm.
Can
it go in? Can it go in, or has New Seasons consumed that only chance? I'm just confused what the 3,000 even means if this is 10,000.
Yeah.
Right.
That's kind of my point.
Okay. And what I'm trying to get to the bottom of is, can we vote soon? With or without that adjustment. So I guess if there's some feeling in your gut or your bones that for some reason giving them latitude to configure the retail along the lines that, you know, it could be two chunks like that, or it could be 3,007, or it could, if you're feeling like somehow this is not square with the way things ought to be in this neighborhood, then there ought to be a majority opinion that the adjustment should not stand. And I'm trying to kind of get there, because somebody's going to need to make a motion.
I'll make a motion.
Are we there? Okay.
Yeah.
We'll vote on it and we'll see what happens. Yeah. Okay. Go ahead.
I'd like to make a motion to approve the project.
I don't think we were quite ready.
Okay.
You guys want to keep talking about it?
All right.
Well, you asked a question and then you said I'll make a motion. And so.
Okay, so we're not ready. So.
Well, I just want to try to figure out how much square footage you've got past the 200 feet.
Okay.
Is it about 3,000? Is that what
it's
you?
It's a little. I think it's a little under 3,000 square feet.
A little under. Okay. So then, if it's under 3,000 past the applicable distance, then why do you need an adjustment?
Really, because of the flexibility of this zone.
It's written. Is the ambiguity of the way it's written?
Yes. It's also the this. I mean,
and so we're being as conservative with the language as possible, and just covering our bases with the
okay.
I mean, you could have a Bed Bath and Beyond by right here.
Sure.
All the way except that last 60 feet.
Exactly. So I mean, you know, it's really
or whoever.
Yeah.
We could configure the building in a way where you could do it.
The other discussion from our DARs was that we wanted a more prominent facade terminating that pedestrian way, mm-hmm. that 60-foot pedestrian way,
right.
And putting a little tiny retailer potentially in there didn't necessarily make much sense. And so not only, we also, the height of that portion is a little bit taller than the rest of the portion along the way.
And it doesn't say anything about the last, that 3,000 square feet that's past the 200, it can't be part of another retail space. It doesn't say that either, right?
It's ambiguous. That's why we took a conservative approach with the adjustment.
Okay. So we're...
Doesn't seem like to me.
Yeah, I'm not feeling it, but you know that already.
I just wonder why they need an adjustment.
Okay.
We're just covering your bases. Okay. So if we're an appeal or something.
Okay.
Okay.
Whew, that was hard. Okay, so are we ready for a motion?
Sorry.
Oh, no, we're not.
We need to close public testimony.
Yeah, that's true.
We need
sorry.
To close the record.
Yes, thank you.
We need to.
Thank you. So this is the last opportunity for anyone to make public testimony on this case. I don't have any, so I want to close the record. Thank you, Tim, for reminding me. Close on the record now. And at this point, then, I would like to encourage commissioners to pose any final thoughts that they have. We can go around and do comments if we want to, just wrap up comments. If people feel compelled. Or if not, we can take a vote right away. I do want to say thank you for working so hard on your project and working the details that we asked you to do. And I think you've come a long way since we started. So
I wanted to, that was on my notes too. Is I really appreciate the way you've tackled the challenges. And I know that the first meeting was kind of a shock to you guys, but you listened. In a non-defensive way and came back and made changes and stuck to your guns on some other things. And it's really been extraordinary. So I really do compliment you for being smart and not doing what we tell you, but I mean just being smart in general in how you tackled this and how you approached the project and how your willingness to grapple with this stuff with us in this context. And I don't say that to everybody, and they'll all agree. So I really, really wanted you to know that.
Okay. Anyone else want to add to that?
The only thing I just said, a little advice, or maybe caution on saw cutting existing tilt-up panels. It's all of the saw cutter. And they, you know, they have to bolt all their equipment on, and the blades wander, especially on these long cuts. And the cut is all about what you're kind of asking this stuff to do. So really very, very careful in your specifications about how to do it, who's doing it, because it can really get away from you and you don't have any chances to cut it. So it's got to be right. Because it does, and it falls, and the corners blow out, and when it doesn't, they're really sharp. The corners are really sharp, so we'll do it back. You've got to put steel at the bottom or else you'll blow that out. You've got to retail corners and stuff. So just kind of a lot of attention to cutting because it's so important for this. And the Commissioner Warwick's comments about the details on the whole thing, you know, just go around again and really flush those out because this project, in my opinion, will be spectacular if the details are done spectacularly. And it could be pretty messy if they're not done very, very well, both in drawing and execution. But But thanks also for integrating a lot of our thoughts.
Mr. Moore?
Go ahead. That's fine.
Okay, great. Okay, then I guess I'd like to entertain a motion. There's nothing further to add.
I'd like to make a motion to accept the staff report of approval with the following modification that remove all the pavers from the planter areas.
Okay. I guess as a point of discussion, I was wondering, are we...
You want to say that as a condition?
Yeah. It's a condition.
Oh, yeah. Thanks. Okay.
And thanks, David. The details. I guess there were details that were presented in the final packet that we were uncomfortable with. So I guess I would, as a friendly amendment, I wanted to.
I think these details, they're going to end up having to work out
anyway.
Okay. I mean, just to build it.
I'm sure they're going to go back and do some QC on that.
So. Okay.
And the working staff where the columns hit the ground.
Yeah. I think their detail was. Okay, on that one.
The ADA.
Oh, right.
Oh, the ADA, right.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Okay.
Okay, I can get that in there.
Okay, so would you mind resubmitting your motion? Thank you.
Let me redo my motion. I'd like to make a motion to accept the staff report as written with the following conditions. One, that the applicant work with staff to make sure that the base of the columns is designed in such a way to work with any kind of ADA requirements, and that they remove the pavers from the planter area.
Okay. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Hannah, would you call the roll, please?
Aye.
Matt Kaiser?
Aye.
Dave Moore?
Aye.
Matt Elliott?
Aye.
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 Good.
Great. The motion carries. Congratulations and good luck with your project.
Thank you.